This is IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
God is the light, God is the light. How great the wonder of the heavens and the timeless beauty of the night. How great, then how great the Creator. And its stars like priceless jewels, far beyond the reach of kings. Bow down for the shepherd guiding him home.
This is From Darkness to Light.
But how many eyes are closed to the wonder of this night?
With your host, Haroun Chambel.
Like pearls hidden deep beneath the dark stream of his eyes. But like dreams vanish with the call to prayer, and the dawn extinguishes night. Here too are signs. God is the light, God is the light.
Welcome to another episode of From Darkness to Light. This is your host, Haroun Chambel of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. Today we're here with Brother Sajjad, who has, like some of the brothers that we've interviewed and sisters that we've interviewed in the past, is a person who has been raised as a Muslim. However, we like to get away from the generic concept that a person who leaves a different religion to come into Islam is the only one who has to embrace it in their hearts and to choose. So without any further ado, we would like to welcome our brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum.
How's everything, Brother Sajjad?
Everything's wonderful, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. So without any further ado, I'd like to go ahead and start. Why is it that you chose Islam?
Islam, I was raised in a Muslim family, and as growing up, you know, learned more about Islam, so chose to stay with it.
Okay. Was there a time in your life where you realized for yourself that it was the truth? Where, like, you know, growing up, I'm sure your mom and dad were like, you know, this is how you have to live. We're Muslims. This is the right way. You have to do this. You have to act this way. You have to that. And as a young kid, you know, you're living under your parents' roof. You know, you follow the rules. But as you got older, was there a time or an experience or something in which you realized for yourself that it was the truth?
Like you said, you know, growing up, everything, you know, your parents say you do it. And so that kind of, you know, built the foundation for me. Okay, you know, I'm a Muslim and this is what I'm supposed to be. But as I got older, you know, into my teen years, I started to realize, you know, reading the Quran more, participating in a group session with other youth about the religion and talking about the religion, you know, it shows you that, you know, this has to be the right way of doing things. Because I've seen it in my brothers that chose the other path, as I call it, you know, not the path of the Quran. And I've seen how their lives just fall apart. And with me, you know, sometimes I used to start to stray, you know, where I was praying, you know, five times a day or, you know, even once a day. For like a 2 or 3 period gap, and I would notice, you know, in my mind, you know, I would be down a little bit. Things wouldn't seem like they were going in the right direction. So any time, you know, I've noticed in my life that things weren't going so good, I've always, you know, tried to make myself, okay, I need to go back, read the Quran a little bit. I need to pray a little bit. I need to ask God for help. And, you know, that has always turned my life around. And, you know, just looking at the religion itself, and, you know, studying about the religion and showing the things that it asks you to do and things that are quote-unquote haram, such as drinking, adultery, smoking, disrespecting elders, disrespecting young ones. You know, looking at all of those things, it all, you know, that's the way, you know, I like to live my life, and it just seems so right to do it that way.
What, in terms of, like, when you got into reading Quran more and learning more about the religion itself, what was the thing to you in your readings that really, like, touched your heart the most?
The thing that touched my heart the most is, you know, Quran shows us the history of our prophets and, you know, the prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, how they all came about, their stories, and how the Quran was brought down to us. And when reading it, you know, what touches my heart the most is how this religion came to be. I mean, you know, back however many hundred years ago, and even today, Islam, you know, is not well respected in other cultures. You know, today we get talked about, oh yeah, Muslims are terrorists, Muslims are this, but even back then, you know, that's how we were talked about. But through the faith, through the belief, you know, of those prophets that came before us and those Muslims that came before us, you know, just when I read those stories, how the battles, the daily grinds that those people went through, and, you know, how Islam came to be, that's what touches my heart the most, because I see, you know, we go through that every single day of our lives. And the stronger we get in our iman, I think, you know, the better Muslims we're going to become down the road.
And with, in terms of, like, what you had mentioned before about your brothers, that you had, you know, observed them, seen them, you know, going in a different direction and what have you. I mean, it's like, I guess in retrospect, looking at my situation growing up, like, I saw people, like, on both sides of the fence similar, like what you're talking about. And sometimes that kind of lifestyle or situation is appealing. You know what I mean? It's alluring. What for you was it where you realized, wait a minute, you know, this isn't for me? You saw them going that direction, you're like, nah, this isn't the way I want to do things.
That I would like to say about like 7 years ago, 10th grade, 11th grade in high school. I had a bunch of friends. These were all, you know, some of these guys were Muslim, some of these guys were not Muslim. You know, at first my friends were, you know, we would just play sports and we would see each other in school. But 10th, 11th grade, you know, we started getting our licenses and stuff. You get out a little bit, you do a few things. And I started to hang out with these guys a lot more, you know. And what I started to notice, the things, you know, they were doing that classified them as, you know, yeah, this is the, you know, this is the way to go, this is the crowd to follow. You know, I wasn't feeling all of that. You know, I wasn't the kind of person, you know, yeah, I want to go to parties, I want to dance, you know, I want to drink, I want to go find me a girl and start dating. You know, all of those things just didn't seem right to me. I think that has to do with the fact that, you know, I was raised in a Muslim family, like you said at the beginning of the show. Mm. But overall, you know, I don't think that's, you know, that is what defines every Muslim. I think it was because, you know, I had gone out and tried to figure out, you know, more about the religion, as opposed to just that, you know, I'm a Muslim and that's what my parents told me to do. So when I saw these guys doing, you know, the parties, the drinking, you know, going out and dating and stuff, to me it was just like, you know, this is not for me. You know, I can go, you know, find one good person and be a friend with him and stick with him, and as opposed to, you know, have 30 guys by my side and, you know, going down the wrong path.
Right, right. All right, well, we're going to have to pause for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life, and through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
How great the beauty of the earth and the creatures who dwell on her. How great, then how great the Creator.
Welcome back. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We've been here with Brother Sajjad, and he's been telling us his story about the way that he has embraced Islam in his heart and in his life. I'd like to pick up where we left off in a couple of things. One is I want to maybe examine a little bit more the phenomenon that we have with our youth. With in your experience, did you find that a lot of kids that you were around, I won't say a lot, let me rephrase that. Would you say that you had Muslim kids that you were around that were like definitely like trying to get into that whole like partying scene and, you know, the fast life, so to speak?
Definitely. You know, growing up in high school, you know, in the U.S., I came to the States when I was at the age of 13, you know, started out with middle school here. And at that time, you know, I wasn't that much, I wasn't thinking into what is this guy doing, what is that guy doing. But as life, you know, as time passed, high school and stuff, I started to realize that a lot of the people, you know, where their parents were, the, you know, those that were at the mosque week in, week out, you know, volunteering and stuff, it was their kids, you know, that I would see doing wrong things, and I just wasn't able to put two and two together. You know, if your parents are doing this, if you yourself, you know, some of these kids would come to, you know, the every Jummah prayer. At that time, we didn't have a mosque that was open 24/7. You know, they would be there for the Tarawehs and stuff. But then, you know, I did see a lot of Muslim kids that used to go off that on that wrong path.
What do you think is the thing that, I guess, the thing which causes them, you know, or interests them or compels them to want to go down that path? If indeed, like you said, their parents are people that are like always going to the mosque and doing their thing, how is it that these kids, you know, could get swept up under the rug?
I think, you know, I know I just said that their parents were the ones going to the mosque and doing these things, but overall, I think some of the blame does belong with the parents. And the reason I say that is, yeah, their parents were the ones going to the mosque and stuff, but hey, I grew up the same way these guys grew up. You know, I have the same two parents, a mother and a father. My parents were a lot stricter on me, you know, watching what I was doing. And I think that's the responsibility of all parents. If you think your kid is doing something wrong, you know, to get them to come back to the right path, to be involved in your kid's life. With some of these kids, you know, I used to notice, you know, they do all the right things when it was the time to do the right thing. You know, when it was time for the Tarawih and the mother and father and the other siblings were going to the mosque, they would be there as well. But other times, I don't think their parents were so involved in their life to know what their kids were doing. You know, if they're going out to play, who are they, you know, who's there participating in the games with them? You know, if they say they're going out with their friends, where is it that they're going? I think that blame lies with, you know, with the parents. The parents are not there controlling the kids. And pretty much in turn, as a kid, you know, you started to think, hey, my parents aren't stopping me, so maybe there isn't anything wrong that I'm doing here.
Right. Okay. And secondly, I guess the second point I wanted to talk about was you had mentioned in our first segment the idea of, like, you know, really looking into understanding the religion for yourself, like self-examination, you know, like not just being content with what everybody says or what the majority of people are doing or saying, but actually like looking into it yourself. Did you find that like you were like really actively like that, or was it just something that you're like, you know, I need to learn about this, so you did?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that last part of that?
And I was saying, did you like, were you the kind of person that was really like hardcore into self-examination, or were you just kind of like, as a reaction from seeing the path that the other people were going down, you're like, I need to like understand what's really going on?
Somewhat, you know, to a certain point I was about self-examination, because, you know, my goal, my, you know, my belief, and some of this, you know, a lot of this has to do from, you know, the religion itself, has been you check yourself before you check anything else. You know, you can't blame others or other things for your problems until you say, okay, you know, it wasn't me that caused it. So to a point, I was into self-examination at that point in my life.
Yeah.
But as time has passed, I think, you know, being more involved in the religion and stuff has, you know, has made me stronger in that part of life.
Okay. And so as you're like, as you're getting older now, right, you go through high school and whatnot, did you find that like because of this this route that you took, that you had some issues between the guys that you used to hang out with, like in terms of them, like, you know, looking at you differently now because you weren't really down with all that other stuff?
At that point in my life, yes, you know, kids, you know, you're all kids, and, you know, kids will be kids, so it was like, oh, you know, so-and-so thinks he's better than us, or so-and-so, you know, he has a problem with this, he has a problem with that, you know, the attitude problem. You know, those are the things kids do, but what I have realized is those same guys that, you know, I used to be on these guys' case after a while, you know, what are you going to parties for? What are you doing this for? You shouldn't be doing this stuff. And they would just shrug me off, you know, you don't know what you're talking about, you know, you're this, you're that. But those same guys, now I'm 23 years old. You know, some of these guys are out of college. They graduated recently. So in speaking with them now is, you know, some of the guys have came up to me and said, you know what, man, you always used to tell us not to do this and stuff. And, you know, mashallah, look at where your life, you know, God's, you know, kept you straight and stuff. Now I'm trying to get my life back in check. You know I did some things I shouldn't have. So, yes, at that age, they did, quote-unquote, classify me as, you know, the kid who doesn't know what he's talking about. But as they're getting older themselves, you know, I'm starting to, they're, what is the right way, and you know, what was, you know, what was it that they were doing then?
Yeah. So, And with that, was it hard for you at that time to actually like to get through that stuff? You know what I mean? Like when they did, like they kind of started saying like, "Oh man, well, Sajjad is, you know, a little goody two shoes, man. He's like, you know, he's trying to lecture us and harp on us, man. Forget him." You know, was it a thing where they started actually like not talking to you anymore? And like separated from you, or was it just a thing where, you know, they just would be like, man, just don't talk about it when, you know, you try to remind them of what they're doing?
You know, there were some guys that did separate from me. There were some that I, you know, I used to still talk with about this stuff, and you know, they would listen. The least they would do is they would listen. You know, they wouldn't just, those that didn't want to hear it, they pretty much, like you said, stopped talking. But there was others, you know, that I, you know, didn't immediately respond to my talking, but, you know, they would still listen, they would still carry on the conversation. As far as did it affect me, I would like to say I'm a special case when I say it didn't affect me, because to me, you know, like I say, it didn't really matter if I had a list of 30 friends around me or if I had a list of one good friend around me.
Right.
You know, I always tried to put myself in a circle of good people, so I wasn't into, you know, all of that, oh, man, you know, I don't have any, you know, I'm not the cool guy walking down the hall, you know, nobody's looking up to me, this and that. You know, I wasn't into all of that, so for that reason, it didn't affect me that much.
All right, we're going to pick this up in a second. We have to step away for a few brief messages from our sponsors. You're listening to From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network.
For Youth Matters, Muslim World News, National News, Islamic information, Muslim scholars' insights, business and legal advice, and the hottest debates on current affairs. Tune in to IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network, the voice of American Muslims.
As its mountains pierce the clouds, high above the lives of men, weeping rivers for thousands of years.
Welcome back. You're listening From Darkness to Light of the Islamic Broadcasting Network. We've been here with Brother Sajjad, and we're here to wrap this up in our final segment. I'd like to talk a little bit more about this whole issue, I guess, of peer pressure. Mashallah that, you know, Allah, you know, put it in you that you're able to, like, you know, stand on your own 2 feet and, you know, and you don't get affected by you know, the other people, like you, you know, like growing up, that may have influenced you in a negative way. You were just kind of like, you know, trying to be around good people and what have you. Let's talk a little bit about your experience, maybe looking at it from an outsider's point of view, of those people that you know, and that even today that you may see of youth and just people in general, even adults, that get caught up in the vice of peer pressure. In, you know, doing certain things. And I mean, how do you feel like as people wanting to be a good reminder, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in a hadith, that the believer is a mirror to his brother. So, you know, when you're fighting an uphill battle, you know, and you've got like a bunch of people that are influencing somebody in a negative way, How have you, in your experience through this journey, how have you been able to get through to people in a positive way and then respond to it?
You know, I think the best way to get through to people is somehow just, you know, hitting them with reality. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, that might be going off to the wrong path, what they sometimes see is, you know, astaghfirullah, they see another brother, you know, another Muslim brother, per se, who is doing something wrong, but hey, he has a lot of success in his life. You know, he graduated from college, he went off, got a good job, you know, made a lot of money, he drives a fancy car, lives in the nice house. So that, you know, they classify that as, you know, if God didn't punish him or he's not being punished, you know, he's getting all this good reward, so how can it be wrong what we're doing? And I think at that point you have to hit these people with the reality is, you know, that we're all going to pay for our sins. You know, some of us, you know, go through ups and downs in our life and, you know, start to realize what our sins are, but overall we'll pay for everything in the hereafter. You know, we'll all go through the judgment day and, you know, have to pay, you know, stand in front of God and say, okay, you know, this is what you did and this you're going to pay for it. And with some of these guys, what I realized the best way was showing them, you know, the reality, showing them, hey, look at, you know, last year when you weren't going to these parties and you weren't doing these things, this is the kind of stuff you were doing. You know, you were starting on the football team, you were getting good grades, you know, you weren't lazy, you know, you weren't down on yourself all the time, and look at what's become of you since. You know, you don't come to school as often, you're not playing football, which you enjoyed playing, you know, and you were starting on the team. You might not be going to college, you know, showing them the hard, you know, hard truth of what is this lifestyle doing to you. Although, yeah, there's that one brother out somewhere, you know, where you say, oh, yeah, you know, he was doing all these things, but he has success in his life. That is not the way that this religion is made. And, you know, sometimes I think just hitting them with that hard truth is what you were doing and look at where it's gotten you now, you know, sometimes gets them to wake up and realize that they are going down the wrong path.
Yeah. Now maybe shifting gears a little bit. Something I had a discussion with a guy earlier today, and he was saying that, you know, that that in looking at the situation that the community of Muslims is going through now in the States as well as, you know, abroad, and he was saying like he wasn't sure if he felt that we had, for lack of better words, like bit off more than we can chew and put ourselves into a corner, meaning kind of like we deserve what we're getting, you know, but he doesn't understand how. And so I said to him, you know, I think that our problem that we're in today is that we've gotten to a point where we're minoring in the major and majoring in the minor. So it's like, you know, everybody has their levels of faith, you know what I mean? And only God understands, you know, and knows what is in each person's heart and how committed they are to him. But I think that what I've noticed is the way that we deal with each other now, we'll deal with all these secondary issues before we'll deal with the source of those issues. You know, like, for example, you know, if you go up to a non-Muslim, the first thing that might come out of their mouth about their understanding of Islam is like, for example, that you can't drink alcohol or like sex out of marriage is not permissible, right? But if you ask them, like, what is the Islamic concept of the belief of God? They'll be like, I don't know. You know, you hear them saying, oh, you guys believe that the moon, you worship the moon or something, you worship the sun or something like that. They say all kinds of weird stuff. And I don't know, I guess... In closing, I wanted to kind of get your input, you know, on the matter of like how you feel that we can try to reach one another. And I don't mean just dealing with youth. I mean adults, everybody. Like how, and Muslim, non-Muslim, whatever. How do you feel that, like in from your experience, that we can effectively reach each other and start trying to establish a relationship with our Creator?
I mean, the first and foremost thing is the simplest thing, I think, for a lot of people, just following up with the normal daily prayers and, you know, trying to become one, you know, one with the prayer, you know, having your concentration in prayer. I think that has a big effect on people. You know, me personally, sometimes if I'm having a tough time, you know, and it's Usher time, and I pray Usher. After that, my head and my heart, it all feels much lighter, and the problem seems like it's gone away. So I think the first thing is people need to be more at ease with themselves, and thereafter to become closer to God, to become closer to the Quran, is just a matter of, being knowledge about it. We all go off and get our computer science degrees and get our, doctorates and stuff, but the Quran and Islam is something we need to be more knowledge about. And, two things come out of that. One is, I personally, if I'm going to read, let's just swear Fatih and remember the meaning of it and know, where it originated and why it originated, that just makes me a better person. Secondly, if I'm in a gathering of non-Muslims and, there's, conversation going on, I can knowledgeably speak about Islam.
Right.
I don't have to sit there and just say, well, Muslims are this way because, we believe in Allah.
Right.
We believe in Allah because of this, that, and that.
Right.
You speak with facts. And, that's something you notice, like the imams, the sheikhs that we have, in this country, that are leading our Muslim organizations, going to the Jummah khutbahs, you pick up a lot of knowledge that way. Because these guys that are speaking, their knowledge, their knowledge level is above and beyond of the average Muslim, I think. Because the average Muslim, like you said yourself, all they know is, we're not supposed to drink, we're not supposed to eat non-zabiha meat or, non-kosher meat, whatever you want to classify it as. But they don't have that in-depth knowledge of, like you say, where does the Quran come from? How did it come about to being, the book of the religion? Who's Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What other prophets were there before him? I think if we all just take the time and learn a little more about the religion, however you choose to do that, you can have weekly sessions, you can have weekly halakas, you can every Friday khutbah you can attend. All of these ways, I think the average Muslim can pick up knowledge. But until we gain that knowledge, I think, we are heading down the wrong path because we're just looking at the big picture of, this is Islam and this is what we're supposed to do. Yes, you're not supposed to ask the question of the religion, why did God instill this upon us? But you do need to know why he instilled this upon us, based on what the Quran says. I know there's always saying, you don't go and question the Quran. That's not what I'm telling people to do. But you need to know what the Quran tells you to do and why it tells you to do it.
Right. So those answers can be given to you without you having to, fumble around.
Exactly.
And be in despair.
Exactly.
Alhamdulillah, man. Unfortunately, we've run out of time, but I appreciate and thank you for taking this time out with us to share your story with us. In closing, we would like to say to all of our viewers to remember that God's mercy is vast and that it's never too late for a person to start turning towards their Creator, and know that because He created us and He created everything in this life, that there's always an opportunity for us. We just have to take one step towards Him, even making a thought of wanting taking a step towards Him, and God will turn to us running. With that, we thank all of you for listening, and we hope that you join us for another episode of From Darkness to Light. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting. God is the light everlasting.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.